Yesterday we discussed the Seudas Shabbos being considered a Tzorach Mitzvah that would allow implementing a Kula of Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. And we noted the comments of the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Kapei, the Kat and Samech, in which the Mishnah Berurah referenced the types of material that one would allow a Nachri to bring in behalf on Shabbos in violation of Issa D'Rabbanan, as including Kiddush wine and hot food. So we noted the implication of that Mishnah Berurah that it sounds like things that are part of the Iker Suda Shabbos would be considered enough of a Tzorach to be makel for Mir L'Nachri, but not more peripheral things. I noticed that in the Simcha Budim Cohn's English work on Amir L'Nachri, he points out that there is another comment of the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Reish Ayin Vav, Shar Hatzion Sif Katan Kaf Zayin, Reish Ayin Vav, Shar Hatzion Sif Katan Kaf Zayin, where the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim, Lashon, that the entire Seuda is considered a Seudas Mitzvah. He thinks that there's an implication over there that not only the hot food, not only the main course, but other elements of the Seuda may be considered Tzorach Mitzvah as well. The quote from Gutman, the final Bracha, is commenting that the Mishnah Berurah's Lashon of Tavshel Cham in Simen Shin Kapei is somewhat lavdafka. It doesn't mean only the hot food. Someone asked yesterday if cold cuts were your main course, then that would be included as well. It means the stuff that is part of the Iker Hasuda. So the meat, the fish, the main elements of the Suda Shabbos, but something more peripheral, he says, like kugel, would not be considered part of the Iker Hasuda Shabbos to be able to invoke Amir L'Nachri. So if you have your cholent and you have your meat, but you're missing your kugel, you couldn't have enough to carry your kugel through a karmelis. Although, he also quotes Vishemer Scheinberg, Zerchana Levracha, that if a person doesn't like meat, he only likes kugel. So that's the Iker Suda Shabbos for the fellow. Then you can rely on Shvus to Shvus to allow the Nafi to bring the kugel through the karmelis without an Erev as well. And then he quotes B'Shem Ramosh, another poskim, that generally speaking, kugel, salad, drinks, and dessert are not part of the Iker Suda, and the meat and the fish and the cholent will be part of the Iker Suda. Okay. So let's go back again to Simen Shin Zayin Sif Hei. We have analyzed so far the heter of Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. Now we have to talk about Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah Choli. So let's go back to the Lashon HaRambam, which is the source for this din in Shulchan Aruch, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes and Halacha Yud. The Lashon HaRambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes, V'hu sheyesham mixas choli, oh yeah, tzarech v'daber, tzarech harbe, obim ne mitzvah. So subcategory number one is mixas choli. And then the Rambam explains, Ketzad, omer yisrael l'goy v'shabes lalas v'ilah, n'olashir al p'nei amayim, t'dei l'havi l'shofar, osaka l'milah, omevi lo mechatzer l'chatzer she'ein eir v'nei'an mayim chamin, l'harachis b'ham kazan, umitz tayer. V'chein ko kayose bazet. So the Rambam has l'shon as a mixas choli, and l'shon of bringing the water to wash a mitzvah. So as Shlomo Meir posed a question 2 times ago, what is the chola that we're talking about? Chola she'ein bo sakana, even a mlacha d'oraisa would be mutter ayidei nachri. What we call a mechush ba'alma, not the feirish in the Rambam, but it is the Magen Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Beis. At least the Magen Mishnah is the Beferish B'dasa Rambam, that Mechesh V'Alma, we don't allow even a Malacha D'Rabbanan Ayidei Nachri. So, if you look at the Asagas HaRavid, the Ravid writes as follows, Amar Ram, Im Haya Mixas Choli Hu Atmo Oseh. So for mitzvah choli, which the Ravid sounds like he's understanding is the geder chole she'emo sakana, or maybe a sakana saver. So he himself could do a malacha derabbanan sometimes. So it sounds like that's part of the Ravid's question. What is the chole that we're talking about here? We're only magdir a shvus de shvus. So it does sound like there is this middle category, somewhere between a mechush ba'alma and a chola she'ein bo sakana, where we do allow malacha only through shvus de shvus. So there are some indications of this in various comments of the Mishnah Berurah. So Mary pointed out one of them yesterday. But if you look, for example, the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, in Simen Shin Kav Ches Sifkata Nun Beis, Shin Kav Ches Sifkata Nun Beis, this is based on a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is commenting on the Gemara in Beis and Daf Kav Beis. The Gemara in Beis and Daf Kav Beis has a case of Kachol, where we allow a Nachri to apply rouge to the eyes of a Chole. And the Magen Avraham understands that the Medubar in the Gemara there, a statement of Amemar, the Gemara in Beitza, Dafka, Beitza, and Alas, the Medubar is someone who is Nixas Choli. It sounds like he's not a Chole She'ein Basakana, but it's more than a Mechush Ba'alma. So the comment of the Magen Avraham quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Kaf Ches Sifkata Nun Beis. The Magen Avraham is in Sifkata Nun Beis. Well, in the Chol Gufo, Ein Chol Klal. Rapshu Chol of Echa Meivaru. So someone doesn't have a Choli that's Bechol Gufo, but he's a chole ve'echa me'evarav, the gamba also a ever ain't sakana, but it's not sakana's ever. So it's not a chole she'ein bo sakana, because a chole she'ein bo sakana would be that it's chole b'chol gufa, but ain't bo sakana. And it's not sakana's ever, because there's no sakana to the ever, but there's a certain amount of pain that a part of the body is experiencing. So then, lo shari l'chalo ki'im ayde nachri. So that's this seemingly middle category of mixas choli, where we do allow amira le nachri b'iser derabana. If you look as well in Simen Shin Kav Ches Se'if Kav Hei in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Kav Ches Se'if Kav Hei, that's talking about a case of the retia, the medicine bandage that falls off a maka on Shabbos, where you're not allowed to put it back because we're concerned of possible memareach, memachek, but you can have enough where you put it back for you. Shin kav ches kav hei, retia shenaf lame al gabe maka al gabe karka lo yafzi rena. However, nafla gabe kli yafsi rena, because there the fall was somewhat tempered, and there's less of a concern on the mafik and mareach. The ayde ena yehudi muter lanicha filu bechila. Nafri is allowed to apply this medicine bandage even lechatchila. Says the Mishnah Berurah here, sekatan pe gimel. Umayri kishahaya kitzas chola ayde amaka. We're talking about where there is kitzas choli, dihaya rak mechesh ba'alma afilu alidei neyhudi asr. If it was only mechesh ba'alma, then you couldn't have an nachri do it. So what's the allowance of a nachri put it back? It's only this middle category of mechesh ba'alma. I'm sorry? Oh, the mechesh choli, yeah. It's not a mechesh ba'alma, it is mechesh choli. That sounds like another instance of this middle category where matir shvus de shvus makam choli. Not necessarily, because it seems to be kind of an amorphous demarcation. It's not really explicated so much in Poskim. It was hard just to piece together this formulation. Nefesh ba'alma sounds like it's a inconvenience. You're not no full of Mishkav, you're not going to go to bed over it. As we discussed, you're able to function normally. Nixas Choli, it's not a Cholish Eim HaSakad, it's not Nafal Mishkav, but there's a certain significant amount of pain that has, let's say, some minor impairment on your functioning, but not complete impairment. So maybe a mild headache, usually we talk about headaches, we're talking in terms of medicine. So for this middle category of Mitzvah Choli, there's no heter of medicine. Heter's a shvus to shvus. So maybe some kind of mid-level headache, if you could conceive of a situation where there's something enough we could do to help you, that would alleviate the pain. Usually,
I was asking if that was a good example.
I'm not sure, because the example only really relevant if there's an application of Mila Nachmi that would be helpful. So if you look in all the Kitzer books, it's not terribly clear what falls into this category. The Reb Silverstein, his paper, has some dialogues about having a Nachri trap annoying mosquitoes. Maybe there's some kind of tsar involved that would approximate this middle category. It's not terribly clear to me exactly where you draw the line. Okay. And then the third application based on this Rambam is Hefzegadol Tzarech Harbe, which we began discussing yesterday. So we noted yesterday the suggestion of the Minchas Kohen that the Rambam's category of Tzarech Harbe is based on his understanding of Libud HaMagen Mishnah of the Sugya Vishtapa Chamimi, where the water that's being brought on Shabbos is not necessarily being brought for someone who had a Mila on that day. But even in a situation of a baby where there is a need mishum nikius to apply hot water, which would be considered somehow a significant tzarech, but not necessarily mitzvah, not necessarily choli. The other potential source, or the other sugya that's relevant to understand the basis of tzarech harbe / hasen ruba, is the Gemara in Ksuba Sandaf Samech. The Raivid that we just quoted in the Hasagas on Allah Hadal, it quotes this Gemara. He quotes the early line in the Gemara. But the next case in the Gemara in Ksuba Sandaf Samech is a case of Tzinur Shemalei Kashkashim. The Gemara has Tzinur Shealuba Kashkashim. You have a gutter. You have a pipe, a gutter coming out of the house that's supposed to divert the water away from the house. And there are certain plants or certain vegetation that's growing in the middle of the pipe. So it's now diverting the water from the gutter system, and the water is dripping into your house. And that could potentially create a hefsid in the house. It could damage the house. So the Gemara there has a din that sinur shalav akashkashim, if you have this pipe, this drainage system, this gutter, that has the vegetative growth that's disrupting the flow of water, mimachan beraglo b'tzina b'shabbos, you're allowed to take your foot and smooth out the vegetation so that it's not going to divert the water anymore. Gemara says, "My time up." Netakin kolachriyadhu uvamakom pitseida lo gazir rabbanim. That's considered a tikkun mana kil achar yad. So whatever malacha you're doing is only in a kil achar yad fashion, it's not direct. And kil achar yad is only an iser derabanan, it's a shinoi, an iser derabanan, and therefore lo gazu b'makom hefsed. So in that situation, a malacha performed in a kil achar yad fashion is permissible even for a Yisrael b'makom hefsed. So that may be a model for hefsed allowing for a shvus de shvus. The question we have to address is, how does this fit what seems to be a blanket allowance in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch following the Rambam, that in a situation of Tzarech Gadol, which the Magen Avraham we quoted views as Hefsen Meruba, so there's a heter of Shvus the Shvus Amir Lenachi for a Dinder Rabbana. How does that fit with the Gemara about Kibui Deleika of Kol Mechaba Eino Mafsid? So that's what's quoted in Simon Shin Zayin Se'if Yates. Take a look there for a second. Simon Shin Zayin Se'if Yates. So the Gemara has in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kuf Aleph that there's a possibility in a situation of a delay of saying to a Nakri, Kol Mechaba Eino Mafsid. But you can't tell the Nakri directly to extinguish the fire if there's no Pikuach Nefesh situation, it's just a matter of financial loss. But you can say, Kol Mechaba Eino Mafsid. Is that din unique to Delek, or is that relevant to other hefset situations as well? That's the machlokas we showed him. If you look how it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, if you test, Sechorahan have said this b'Shabbos ayideh gesham. If you have merchandise that's threatened, it's going to be damaged because of rain, it was left out over Shabbos. O davar acher, o asi vidka demaya, or you have the dam that bursts in the middle of the Shabbos and it's going to flood your merchandise, then you're going to have a financial loss. U'mastin mamono. Ocean is ro'a achav is shoyayin b'holach li'ibud, or you have a barrel of wine and it's shaky, it's going to explode and you're going to lose all the wine. Mutter likros eino yehudi afa pishavada yodeya sha eino yehudi yatzel amamun. So you're allowed to call the nokri, you're not going to tell them directly to save it, but you're clearly creating a situation where the nokri is going to save it. That's permissible. V'chein Mutter lomer le'eino yehudi kol amatzel eino mafsid. So in a situation like this, you can say to the Nachri, you can't tell him directly to do a malacha, but you can tell him whoever, or make a general statement, whoever is going to save, will not come out empty-handed. And he will be rewarded. Come up with the leka, sheitiru lomar kol mechabi namasa. The model for that is the leka, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Kaf Aleph. You can use this formulation of kol mechabi namasa. The yesh misha omir shalom yitiru ela b'leka dafka. And then he quotes some Rishonim, the Rashban, Tshuva, and others, that heter of Kola Mechabe Namasid is unique to the Leika. It doesn't apply to other situations of Hefzer. So in the Leika situation here, it sounds like you're not allowed to tell the Nachri to do a Malacha, even a Malacha Derabanan, potentially. You can only say kolam echabe eino mafsid. Why? What's the relation between this din of Deleika and the din of Tzarek Gadol that we have in Se'if Hey? There's a Ran who is bothered by the following kasha. Right, the Mishnah in the beginning of Perikol Kisvei Kuftes Vav has a din that Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilim Mevnei HaDeleika. So you're allowed to save Kisvei HaKodesh from the fire on Shabbos. But that's the extent of an allowance for Yisrael to do anything to address a fire in a non-life-threatening situation. So the Rishon Rabbadar if it's b'makom hefsek, just like we have the case of the Sinur Sha'alu Kaskasim, where we allow a malacha in a kala'achayai fashion b'makom hefsek, so why here, according to the Shita of Shimon, that the malacha she'besichel guf is only an iser derabbanan, according to most Rishonim, Shita of Rambam, malacha she'besichel guf yirchayivan, but otherwise we assume Lachashem Sikhul Guf is Pater Valasar, but that's only an Isser Rabbanan. So extinguishing a fire, if you're not interested in the Pachamim, you're only interested in saving something from the path of the fire, that's a Lachashem Sikhul Gufa. So why don't we allow the Malkum Hefzid performance of a Lachashem Sikhul Gufa of Kiboy Deleika? How is that different than the Tzinur Sha'alu Ba Kaskasim? Yeah.
I didn't ask anything yet, but I don't understand the question. Don't we allow them to put out the fire?
Call them out, call them
out. Why can't they still do it
themselves? Yeah. So the Ran, Rishonim has this kasha, the Ran has the following, Adaf Samach Aleph Amid Aleph Bidaf Erif, Dibur Maskel Uba Makam. Shabbat Samach Aleph Amid Aleph Bidaf Erif, Dibur Maskel Uba Makam. The Malkum Seder Lo Gazir Abanim. In Tamar, in Cain, Lama Asu Lechavos Deleika B'Shabbos. So why do we prohibit a Jew from extinguishing a fire on Shabbos? V'Malach Hashem Tzichu L'Gufahi Shelo L'Techamim Hutzarech Elolat Tzalas Besav. You're not interested in the ashes. So it's a Malach Hashem Tzichu L'Gufa. V'Lo Mitzar Elamid Rabbanan. The Ran assumes, not like the Rambam, like most Rishonim, then Lacha Shenu Sichul Guf is only Aser Midrabanan. Devada Kipu Deleika Mitzar Afilu Reb Shimon. The Amar Lacha Shenu Sichul Guf is Pater Alaha Afilu Ayde Nachri Nami. And you're not even allowed to have a Nachri directly put out the fire. The Tanan Perakol Kisvei Kodesh Nachri Shabbat Lachabas Ein Amar Lo Kabeh. You're not allowed to tell him directly to extinguish the fire. You can only be Merames. Umok Minu Lacha Reb Shimon. So why is it that by the Tzinur Sha'alu Kaskasim we allow Malacha Kalachiyad Malacha Hesed, and by the Leika we don't allow a Malacha Shenu Sichul Gufa? So the Ran of two Derusim Yeshlamar Shani Kiboy Dekevad Im Hayat Tzarech L'Gufo Hayat Aser Min HaTorah. So Kiboy is different. In a situation where it would be a Malacha Sichul Gufa, let's say you needed the Pachamim, so that's an Isser de Araisa. The Ein Hakol Biki and Lachlok. The Ein Malacha Svicha Lagufa L'Shein Svicha. And you can't leave it up to the masses to make this distinction between what's considered a malacha ha'tzik l'gufa and what's considered a malacha she'enu'tzik l'gufa. The act of extinguishing the fire looks exactly the same whether your intention is to save your property or whether your intention is to use the ashes. So because there's no visible distinction between the tzricha l'gufa flavor of kibui d'leika and the eino tzricha l'gufa flavor of kibui d'leika, so we can't leave it up to people to make these distinctions. Mishum haki, asri rabbanan afilu b'makom seida. Because of that difficulty, so the rabbanan aser kibui even b'makom hefset, even where it's a malacha she'enu tzricha l'gufa, afilu ayidei nachri. And they answered it even ayidei nachri. Lefi, shemitok she'adam ba'u amamono, ishar yisrei ayidei nachri asi lechbuye ihigufe. And the reason we don't allow it ayidei nachri is because since adam ba'u amamono, people are not thinking rationally when there's a fire. So if we allow it ayidei nachri, they're going to do it themselves. Right, that's like the Lashon Rabbim that we saw, the whole Isra of Amir Lenachri Bechlau, is because if we allow Malacha Yidei Nachri, people may come to do the Malacha themselves. The Rabbim is saying that it sounds like in principle, in theory, we should have allowed a Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'gufa B'Malkam Hesed, but in this case, we're not going to leave it up to people to make these distinctions, so we aser it, and we aser it even Ayidei Nachri because of Adam Bahol Al Mamono. And then the Rana has a secondary, it's Inami, Shani Haki Shehu Shvuskel Achar Yad, Shemimachin Baragla. When it comes to the Tzin or Shalabah Kaskasim, so there, that's a Dirabbanan in Akhil Achar Yad fashion. The two Girsos, Chomer Tvei or Kil Tvei, Mishvus the Shvus, Hanasa Kidarko, the Hainu Ayidei Nachri. I think Kiltvei works better. So here, if you do the Tzidur Shalabah Kaskasin, that's a Malach in a Kilachar Yad fashion, and that's more Kal than a generic Shavus where the Malach is done in the normal fashion. So we allow the Tzidur Shalabah Kaskasin because it's done in an abnormal fashion more than we would allow a malacha in the normal fashion, ayide shvus de shvus. Hagan site takes out shvus de shvus, ayide shvus. The kil tvei, mi shvus. I'm sorry, let's start again. Inani, Shani Haki Shu Shvus Kalakar Yad, Shemakin Baraglov, the Kiltve Shvus or Mishvus the Shabbos, Mishvus the Shabbos Anasa Kedarko. That's more Kal than a regular Darabanan performed in the normal fashion. Okay, so my focus is on the first Eretz of the Ran. First Eretz of the Ran was that in principle it sounds like we should have allowed performance of a Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'gufa B'Malkam Hefsid, but we don't do it in the case of the Leika. Number one, people are not going to understand the difference between Kibui of a Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'gufa and Kibui of a Malacha Tzricha L'gufa, and even Ayidei Nachri are not going to allow because Adam Bahol Al Mamona. That sounds like, in principle, in other areas of Hefsid, we may be more inclined to allow it Ayidei Nachri, to allow a Shvus de Shvus Ayidei Nachri straight with regular Amira, And here, there's more of a consideration of Adam Bal Al Mamono in the Deleika context, and maybe that's why we insist on the indirect Kolam Mechabe Eino Master. Because of that Adam Bal Al Mamono, we don't allow this standard Amir Lenachri. It has to be Kolam Mechabe Eino Master. But by other situations of Tzarek Gadol, even where there's a Hefsid, we would allow straight Amira to a Nachri, potentially. That may be the distinction between the din of Kibud Leika and the standard case that the Rambam is talking about. Sammy?
Do we always say that by Mokshay Yisrael Gupo, we're always going to have this chashash that people might get confused with, or is that just...
No, so it might be unique to Leika. That's what the Rav Avadia talks about. So Rav Avadia, page... back in Chela Gimel, what page is it on? Page Tuf Nun Aleph. So he just points out, is this Ran, famous discussion of the Shach and Taz, in the situation of, can you have a Nachri, or should you have a Nachri, cut fingernails for a woman who has to go to the mikveh Friday night, but didn't cut her fingernails before Shabbos? So cutting fingernails is a malacha shayna sikhal gufi. You have no interest in the nails that you're cutting off. So the Shach famously assumes in Yoredei Simen Shin Simen Kuf Tzadiches Sif Yuches Yoredei Kuf Tzadiches Sif Yuches and the Nekudas HaKasef. So the Shach there assumes that it's permissible and advisable to tell a Nachris to cut the nails where a woman didn't cut them before Shabbos, because that's a Amir Lenachri on a Malacha Shein of Sichul Gufa with Tzarek Mitzvah. So the Shachir assumes that Malacha Shein of Sichul Gufa is also Bechlal, the kind of Shvus that we would allow Ayidei Amir Lenachri. So Rav Avadia in his presentation says, well, you might have understood this Ran to be against that position. Because here the Ran is saying that we don't allow a Malacha Shein Sichul Gufa Al Yidei Nachri. But the consideration of the Ran may be unique to Deleika, and that's what he expresses here, the inability to distinguish between, or the difficulty to distinguish between Pechamim and regular Hatzalah. So I guess you could theoretically transpose that to other applications of Malacha Shein Sichul Gufa as well, but the specific context of the Ran may be limited to Deleika. That's what many assume lahalacha, that we would invoke that's the assumption of the Shach, which we assume like lahalacha in that context, that we would include a malacha performed in an Eino Sichul Gufa fashion, or with an Eino Sichul Gufa mindset, a malacha Shein Sichul Gufa, we would permit that Ayidei Amir Lenachri b'mako mitzvah.
That we said by Kolshesh Basikana, that we don't want the goy to do it, because if we let the goy do it, then in the future we'll only look for a goy. Here, if
right.
We let the goy do it, eventually the yid will do it.
Okay.
Maybe that's the like it, maybe it's.
The Rambam says that in general by Amir Lenachri, the Rambam says the whole reason for Amir Lenachri being usher is because of the concern that the Yisrael may come to do the Malacha. Okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman has an interesting comment. This is kind of tangential, but in the Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Zayin, Anaf Hey, Os Gimel. Let's try that again. Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Zayin, Anaf Hey, Os Gimel. Why don't we say that, let's say you have a rich person's property that's endangered by a fire on Shabbos. The fire is going to destroy his whole property. So we don't allow Kibui Deleika, even though it's a Malacha Shein Sichul Gufa. You can say, Kol Mechabe Eino Mafsid, there's no Nochi around, he's not listening. So if the Jew doesn't extinguish the fire on Shabbos, then it's all going to be lost. So why don't we say that there's a pikuach nefesh consideration here? Because if he's not going to extinguish the fire, then his health may be endangered because he is not going to deal well with the aftermath of losing all his property. So maybe you should consider that pikuach nefesh. As he may get sick and die from the anguish of being impoverished. So Shlomo Zalman says that's not called the fire killing him, that's called him killing himself. You can't call that pikuach nefesh. But in Shmir Shabbos, Perek Mem Aleph Ha'arachas, Shmir Shabbos Perek Mem Aleph Ha'arachas, there's no greater quote from Shlomo Zalman, that Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't so convinced of this, that he had it back and forth. Maybe this really would be considered a chashash, pikuach nefesh, because of the result that could ensue from news of the destruction of his property. Okay. Shlomo Zalman in the tshuva says unequivocally it's not a zoch pikuach nefesh. Rav Neuger quotes him in Shmir Shabbos as being somewhat unsure.
Is there any historical evidence for him first?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, how would we ever know to make that inference? I mean, and the person couldn't, you know, the Rav was making the talk, wouldn't he think, well, maybe we could, you know, help him, you know, give him therapy or something, that would help him.
Yeah, okay. I mean, okay. And maybe the shock would kill him instantly, I don't know. Yeah, so what is the gather of this Hefzik Gadol? So again, the Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Magen Avraham that when the Chabris and the Rambam says Sarach Harbe, it means Hefzik Gadol. So how do we define Hefzik Gadol? So some of the Kitzer books point to Hefzik Gadol in the Yerideya context. There's certain instances in Hilchos Trefos and other Yerideya contexts where we're makel like a minority opinion or like the opinion we generally don't paskin like, but Malcolm Hefzik Meruba. Right, that's what the Shach was in a few places, that the Raman, the Hatamah to the Torah Skatis, goes to Mari Mintz, that the reason we're Mekel, B'makom, in Yerideya sometimes, B'makom Sarach Shabbos, B'makom Hesem Ruba, and B'makom Ani, is because in principle, Mekel Adin, we Paskin like the more Mekel Shita, and Shulchan Aruch, we're Machmir, but that's a L'chachila, but we never accepted to be Machmir, where it would cause unreasonable difficulty, B'makom Hefzik Gadol, B'makom Oneg Shabbos, etc. So in the Yerideya context of Hefzik Gadol, the Pisgei Tshuva and Siman Lamed Aleph Sifkat and Beis, Pisgei Tshuva and Siman Lamed Aleph Sifkat and Beis goes a back and forth between the Nachlas Shiva and a Sefer Har HaKarmel, that the Nachlas Shiva is quoted as saying that Hesem Ruba is where you're going to come out at a loss of more than one-sixth of the carat. So you're going to lose more than one-sixth of the value that you started with. And then he quotes in the Har HaKarmel, who takes issue with that, that could lead to certain absurdities. So let's say you have something worth $6, and you're going to lose a dollar in change from the value, so your $6 object is now worth $5, is now worth $4.50. That would be considered Hesem Ruba. But if you have an object worth $600 and it depreciates in value by $99, so now it's worth $501, that's not considered Hesem Ruba. So he says, that's going to lead to chukhu v'tulula. That makes a lach into a joke. It can't be that there's an objective standard of one-sixth of the value because it doesn't take into consideration other factors of the bigger picture. Rabbi Zilberstein in his Sefer points out that maybe Yerideya shouldn't be a model at all because the whole starting point is different. When it comes to Yerideya, so there the calculation is that in principle we accept the minority opinion, we accept the more makel opinion. In general, we're machmir, but if push comes to shove, where there are extenuating circumstances, you're allowed to rely on the Mekel opinion. But in defining the heter of Amir Lanafi, the starting point is that it's an objective iser. There's an iser of Amir Lanafi. We have certain situations, Lukula, where, let's say, Lo Hamid de Reyam, or the iser de Rabban of Amir Lanafi wasn't advanced in a situation of a Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, b'makom sarach gadol. But there, the equation is different, so maybe the definition of hesed ruv, maybe it should be a higher threshold of hesed that's required to allow for a mir l'nachri. So he doesn't really suggest what that threshold should be.
Isn't for your idea, the whole job of mar, it all depends on the particular individual involved? Yes.
Well, that's what the conclusion of the Piskei Teshuva seems to be. And there's obviously a difference between an Ani and an Ashir. So those principles can be relevant here as well, but the theoretical point that Rav Zilberstein is making is that it could be, whatever your threshold is in your day, it could be there's a higher threshold here, because your starting point is a base iser rather than a chumra. Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn has the following example of Hesed Ruva, which I think most people would agree with, that you have a fully stocked freezer that becomes unplugged on Shabbos. So usually a freezer, if it remains unplugged for only a Shabbos, it's not going to go bad. Let's say you have a fully stocked refrigerator which gets unplugged on Shabbos, and all the food's going to go bad. And there's a lot of food in there worth a lot of money. So that would probably be called a Hesed Meruba, where he says you have an appliance, you have an air conditioner that freezes over. So if you're not going to turn the air conditioner off, then the whole appliance is going to break, and there would be a costly repair. It's Rabbi Cohen's example. Let's say you leave your car lights on Shabbos. You left your car lights on before Shabbos, and you notice on Shabbos that the lights are still on. Why is that perplexing?
Because you just jump in and it goes, so it usually be fine after
me. Right. So,
just leave it on.
I'm sorry?
You just leave it on.
Right, so that's usually, I'm sorry?
Depends on your battery.
Right, so what's the worst that'll happen? So the worst that'll happen is your battery will go. So that'll be, what, $75 to repair, and an annoyance of having to deal with it. So that a person's destitute, so it could be fair enough to have some ruba. For most people, it's an inconvenience probably not to have some ruba. Again, assuming that the lights are not the right venue. Well, no, it would be kibbu, it should be there, but anyway, Malach is a ruba, fine. Right. So that may be
a regular appliance, right? Maybe less than $75 in total. Here, he's being master to turn off the appliance.
He's talking about an air conditioner. Air conditioners are talking about an air conditioner.
He used the example of an appliance also, though. A regular appliance?
No, he's talking about an air conditioner. If it's an appliance that costs a few hundred dollars, then it's going to be damaged and have to be replaced.
Yeah,
but probably has to move. I'm
sorry? The issue is that you keep the appliance keep going, it might eventually start a fire. I think that's a more issue.
So if that's a concern, so then there's probably what to make a little bit there. Okay. One other instance in which there's a discussion of allowing Amir Lanachri, definitely for the Rabbanans, is situations of Kavod Abrios. So in Simon Shin Beis, if Zion, the Mechaber discusses stains on garments, that depending on the nature of the stain could run into issues of Malabin, could run into issues of Tochei. you look in the Mishnah Berurah there in Sifkatan Lamed Vav, so there the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Mechaber says that if you have a dry, you mean not non-moist material on the garment, so you're not allowed to remove it on Shabbos, because leaving aside, irrespective of the Malabi consideration, there's a Talking consideration as well. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you're not interested in grinding the material of the stain, so it's Malacha Shein Sichul Gufa, Alkal Panim Yisura Mi'ika L'Kul Yama, Vayde Eino Yehudi Mutter. So it's Mutter Ayide Nafri. So here's another example. You see the Mishnah Berurah saying that Malacha Shein Sichul Gufa is considered a Shvus to fall into the category of Shvus of Shvus. And what's the no Malkam Mitzvah, there's no Malkam Choli, there's no Hefzah Gadol, what's the Heather? Says the Shaar HaTzion here, Mem Dalet, Tavi Malacha Shein Svichol Gufa, Umishum Kavod of Rios, Shelo Leilech Gebegadim Miluch Lachim Shari, Tavi Shvus Neshvus. So this is another category, subcategory, that Malkam Kavod of Rios, you can also invoke Shvus Neshvus. Now presumably, if the guy has another pair of clothing to change into, so you're not going to rely on Shvus Neshvus to have the Nafri remove your stain. But if it's someone who only has one set of clothing, and it's going to be embarrassing to walk out on Shabbos with stained clothing, even though we could stay home, but that would be a bit of a bonus Shabbos. So there, it's Mutter Ayidei Nachri. Okay. What about a Melechus Nachri Ayidei Psik Reshek? So that emerges from a Ramah in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Hei. Siman Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Hei. The Ramah writes, and this is based on a Trumas Hadashan, Lachainoagin, Sha'inam Yehudim, Motsiim Hakaderis Mina Tanurim, Shema Minaban. So they wanted to heat up food on Shabbos. So the Nafi would take the food out. Umoshivan Osan Eitzal Tanur Besachar. They put it near the radiator, near the source of heat. Oalav, or on top of it. Umiva Erika Shifcha Acharkaka Tanur Havu. And then the shivcha would light up the oven for heat. Because, I guess we should actually digress for a second. Let's take a look at Simen Reish Ayin Vav Sif Hei. Simen Reish Ayin Vav Sif Hei. Mechaber writes, the Aratzos Karos Mutter Le'eno Yehudi Lasos Medura Bishvil Ketanim. So in the cold countries, you're allowed to have a non-Jew light a flame, light a, put on the heater on Shabbos for the benefit of the little kids. Umutar magadol mischamim bo. And then once they already light the heat, put the heat on, so the gadolim can also benefit from the heat. V'afilu b'shvil hagadolim mutar imakor gadol. So when it comes to ketanim are always considered a chol l'shem l'sakana, and if they need heat, then you can have enough return on the heat. When it comes to gedolim, there's a higher threshold, but if it's a very severe cold, the temperature is significantly cold, so then you're allowed to have a nafri turn on the heat for you, even b'malacha d'oraisa, because that is considered a malacha that is considered a chola she'ein bo sakan. Then the Mechaber writes, "Veloka osam noagim heter afa pi she'ein akor gadol b'yomahu." So some people abuse this school apparently. So there has to be a significant level of coldness, if that's the right word, in order to allow a Nakri to light the heat on Shabbos. The Mishmur just commented in Sefkata Mem Hei, the alcohol panim yizaru shelo lomer lo b'shabbos lahasik olasas hamadura ela yikabsu imo b'kablonos shiasik lo koyim asachar v'beith shiyakar v'ta'afim ha'ena yehudi yasik k'sheena kor gadol efshar davalei ke'ilu asa midaito v'ein tzarech lasas mibeso. So even the people that were makel to have the nachim turn on the heat all the time, so the Mishnah said you shouldn't be mocha mutav shishal kvim, but at least they should arrange with the Nakri ahead of time that the Nakri comes on a pre-arranged basis. So then there's more of an argument or more of a tzad that it's a daita d'nafshi. Nowadays we have thermostats, so usually you set the thermostat before Shabbos, so you don't have to worry about the heat on Shabbos, but you could have a situation where you forgot to set the thermostat or something happened and it didn't malfunction. So then, where there are little kids or where it's excessively cold, you could have enough relight or turn on the heat on Shabbos. Okay, now with that introduction, let's go back to Reish Nun Gimel. So the Ramah, based on the Tumas Hadeshen, is talking about a case where you have a heter to have the Nakri come and turn on your heat on Shabbos, and you're going to have the Nakri, before they turn on the heat, take the cold food and put it near the heater in a way that it's going to get heated up by the heater. And once the Nakri is allowed to heat up the food anyway, because of Hakol Kol and Eitzel Hatsina, Ayidezah, Kedeiros Kozim, and Ertachim. And then the Kedeiros are going to get heated up. So what's this all based on? Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Sadi Tess. Yeah?
So the order of that is that the first problem is the cold.
The first problem is the cold. That's how we get the ball moving. But once you already have the heter there,
then they put the pots on the stove
before they turn on the heat.
And then they start the fire for the cold, then
right.
Cold.
And the nail of the food's gonna get heated up. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, quoting the Magen Avraham, that this is a psik resha. You see, the main focus is heating up for the heat. The fact that the tapshul is going to get heated up as well, that's a psik resha. Mikol makom b'amir la'akum da'avi shvus, the lesba maisa lomach merinam kulei hai v'shari af psik resha. So if there's a malacha performed ayidei psik resha through amir l'nakri, that is going to be mutter. Okay, I think we're out of time for today. We'll pick up Yerush Hashem tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow we're going to finish talking about psik resha. We'll talk about malacha ayidei nakri bein hashmashos. And we'll talk about Remiza versus Tziboy versus Remiza, Derek Tziboy, and not Derek Tziboy. Okay?
At that point, are we still going to have more to cover after?
Yeah, the last Pesach will deal with the